Okay, so who did their Hebrew homework? Anybody? Oh, good. I was at an event last night, and at the event, I was talking to a gentleman who's taught Sunday school for 40 or 50 years at a church in a different tradition and background down the street from us. And he said, "Well, what's going on in your Sunday school class?" And I said, "Well, we're still going through the Old Testament, but I've started teaching them the Hebrew alphabet." And he looked at me and he said, "You are absolutely wasting their time." And I thought he was joking. And I said, "Oh, you old kid, are you?" And he said, "I'm not joking." And he said, "Why are you doing that?" I said, "Because I think it will help everybody study the Word of God better." And I said, and you don't have to learn it. It's not like we're going to give a test and kick people out if they don't. They can sleep through the first 5 minutes and just make Sunday school shorter. And he said, "Well, what if someone's got a daughter?" He said, "What are you going to do for the lady whose daughter is pregnant and not married, whose husband has run off and left her, and she's got cancer, and she just lost her job, and is going to have to live on the street? What are you going to do for her when you teach her the Hebrew alphabet?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Love on her? I just try to help her." I said, but he said, "Well, you're wasting their time." So I said, "Well, I'll ask tomorrow, and if many hands go up on doing the homework, I'll figure I'm not wasting their time. If no hand goes up, then I'm with you, and I'll be changing gears real fast. But I think we got enough hands to where we'll keep going for a little bit on this and see if it doesn't help. And if you are that person that he described, I think this lesson helps you even as you understand the Hebrew alphabet a bit more. And I hope that it does, at least. So anyway, we're studying the Hebrew alphabet, so let's go together and let's see what we've done. Now, those are not very clear on the screen. Those are supposed to look like olives, okay? The reason why is because one of our daughters, Sarah, and I were eating dinner together the other day, and I said, "So do you remember the Hebrew alphabet?" And she says, "I can't ever remember how to start it." There were some olives on the table. I said, "Eat an olive." She says, "I hate olives." I said, "Well, I'm going to make you eat an olive every time you can't remember how to start the Hebrew alphabet." She said, "Why would you do that?" And I said, "Because it starts with Aleph." She said, "I'll never forget it again." Now, it's not quite spelled the same way, but it sort of sounds the same way. So that first letter is Aleph. Originally was an ox, remember? Do you remember what our second letter was? Bait. Very good. And it was a house. And our third letter that we did was Gimel, very good, a camel. And the fourth one? Dalet, very good. And that was a door. So those are the four, Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, that we did last week. Let's say them together. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet. Y'all are really good. Now, somebody out there is going to be resourceful enough to write a song with this. And if you are, I'll give you a twofer offer, two options. You can either come up here and sing the song, or you can designate someone to sing the song because you wrote it, and writers can do that. It's called a cover, and you can get someone to cover your song. So we've got piano accompaniment ready to go. All you got to do, you can arrange this thing. All you got to do is write the song, Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet. I've been working on it, and my song's going nowhere. So Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet. And last week, we especially emphasized not only the letter Beit, but the word Beit that means house. Because the letter came from the picture for a house. Before the alphabet was an alphabet, they were pictures for words. And what happened in the development of our language is somewhere around 2000 BC, maybe 1800 BC, there were some people working in the mines, the turquoise mines of the Pharaoh in Sinai. And they were trying to write down prayers to the Canaanite gods. But the Egyptian hieroglyphics didn't have pictures for the Canaanite gods. So they would take those Egyptian hieroglyphics and use them with the idea that the first sound that each picture makes would form the name for their god. And this is how the alphabet seems to have developed. And so when you look at words like bait, the B sound of the letter comes from the fact that originally it was a picture of a house. And so the word for house is bait. And you've got the B sound, which becomes the letter bait, which becomes our B, the alpha bait, B, aleph bait. All right, so bait. So we looked at that last week, and then we took two of these house words together. We took bait, and we added it to ab, aleph bait, which means father. It becomes Abba, Abba, Father. And we talked about what it means because that's a phrase used over and over in the Old Testament and used by Jesus in my Father's house. And it had a very special meaning, and we talked about that. And then we talked about Beit David. Remember? Beit David. David being David. Now, that was last week. I did not tell you all the other ways you can take bait and use it because you already know some of these ways. You just probably did not, all of you at least, did not put together that bait means house. But bait, El means God. So what's the house of God? What would it be? Bethel. Bethel. Beit El. House of God. Bethel. All right, lechem means bread. So if you've got the house of bread, what would you have? Beit lechem, Bethlehem. It's the house of bread. From the house of bread came the bread of life. From Bethlehem came Jesus. But Bethlehem means house of bread. And so you've got all sorts of these. Bethsaida, house of the fishermen. Beit, Beth, means house. Okay, so that was last week. Now, we've got it. Aleph, say it with me, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, and now we get to go this week. Let's get those up at the top of the screen and let's go. Our first one is, hey. I love this letter. Now, scholars aren't exactly positive of how it developed in the alphabet, but they believe it came from a foreman. Look at it. It's got, see that little leg on it? It's just like the Dalet, but it adds that little bitty red thing that I've got flashing, that leg. So it's the Dalet with a little leg on it, and that makes it a hey. And it was originally a foreman at a job site. Hey! Hey! You thought that was an English word. That word's been around for 4,000 years. Hey! Hey! And that's the letter. And it becomes the ha sound. Hey! So remember that. That's our next one. So we've got Aleph, Beit. Say it with me. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet. Hey! Next. We're going to get four more today, by the way. Next week, we may just do a review week because we've got some spring breakers. That doesn't give you the excuse to be off next week. I'm coming back to teach, so you should come back to reinforce. And I may throw in a letter or two just for fun, but we won't do four. We're just going to keep this going. So, Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, and next we have Vav. Vav. Say it. Vav. What does that look like to you? Yeah, sort of. It's a tent peg. One of them pegs you'd pound down for the tent to hold the tent up. That's called a vav. So they just take the tent peg. And it kind of looks like a tent peg to me. Now, it's interesting. There is a psalm in our Old Testament, Psalm 119. And it's called an acrostic psalm. What it means is it's got a section of verses, and the first word in each of these verses starts with a letter of the alphabet, Hebrew letter. So it's got the Aleph section, the Beit section, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav. But if you look, for example, in your study Bible, it's Psalm 119. If you look in your study Bible, they write like he, but it's hey, trust me. The Vav, they write W-A-W. Do you see that? Do you mind if I write in your book, Richard? Okay, thank you. The Vav is W-A-W. That's because it's a German W. The Germans pronounce W like we pronounce V. So it reads Wah, but it's vav. You with me? Okay, that's important to know because a lot of biblical scholars were Germans. Remember, it starts, the Reformation movement started with Luther, right? So a lot of scholarship uses, but when you see it, pronounce it like a good German would pronounce that W with, as a V, okay? It's vav. All right, let's throw that up there. So we've got it. Let's say it together. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zion. Zion, say it. Zion. All right. Now, Zion was originally the picture for a weapon. It's just like a sword. I've got a friend who tells me he thinks they used axes, so he thinks it's an axe, which it looks maybe a little bit more like an axe than a sword. If it's a sword, they're missing the handle. But if you put the handle on it, it'd be a T. Then we'd be in trouble. So it's not, it's a sword without a handle. That's the Zion. It becomes our Z. We just kind of took the top of the squirrely part and put it on one side and moved the bottom to the other and twisted the line. And it becomes a Z. But you'll notice, try to compare it to the Vav we just had. Do you see how closely related the letters are? The Zion, the sword, the Z, has the hilt going all the way across the top. On both sides it overhangs. The Vav just has a little hook on the top. It just hangs on one side. See the difference? You're going to practice this week maybe, and so you'll learn it then. But now we've got it. Let's say it. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zion. And then our last letter, this is the one where you want to always be facing forward when you say it because it spits. It's hate. Hate. I hate this because I can't say it very well. This does not come naturally to people from Lubbock. Unless you're doing something that's a little too vulgar to talk about in church, when you got that stuff stuck in the back of your throat and you're trying to clear it. That's about the only time you make that sound where I grew up. It's called a guttural because it's made way down here. And you got to reach way back to get it. Don't do it with a dry throat. You'll just get a hernia. But it's hate. Okay? Hate. Yeah, that's a tough one. Now, look at it. Look at the difference between the hate and the hay. They're shaped the same. It's just the leg goes all the way up with the hate. You see the difference? The leg goes all the way up with the hate. With the hay, it's just a little short. All right. So, hate was originally a courtyard. You can see how it's a closed-off courtyard. And at least that's what some scholars think. They're not as sure on this letter. But that's the chet. So with that, we have our alphabet. And now we're ready for class today. So that part of class is over. If you're not learning the Hebrew alphabet, that's fine. You've got to wake up now. Because now we start Sunday school. Sunday school. Well, we've been studying through the Old Testament. We've had David, and David has lived. But as we get to today, David has died. And before David died, he said, my son Solomon is the one who should succeed me. Solomon does, but does it only after a struggle and a civil war. After a couple of battles, though, Solomon consolidates the empire. He becomes the wise King Solomon. And that's where we pick up the story today. 1 Kings 6 says, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, he began to build what? The house of the Lord. The what? The Beit? Beit, you say? Well, yes, you're correct. That's the word used. You Hebrew scholar, you. It's the Beit of the Lord. Now look at Lord. It's written with a large capital and three small capitals. Is that a typo? No. Why is it written that way? Because it says Yahweh. Now, we haven't learned that first letter. Remember, we read backwards in Hebrew. So you're reading right to left. See, that's why we built it that way. We haven't learned the, that's a fist, yod. It means it's yah. It's the yah, yah. It's the Y. Okay? You'll learn that next week if we do two more letters. It's coming right around the corner. Okay, so Y, what's that? Hey, that's right. Hey! Y, hey! Vav, hey! Now, some of you are going to be saying, how is that Yahweh? It looks like it's Yahweh. Well, you're right. But we're a bunch of English people who read the word that came from German scholarship where they were using a German W, and we don't know better, so we just say Yahweh. But that name's been mispronounced for so long, I don't try to change it in my vocabulary, and I'm not sure you should try to change it in yours. But if you ever want to be really scholastic, you can call it Yahweh instead. Because it's Yod, Hey, Vav, or Wah, Vav, Hey, Yahweh. Those four letters. Now, we have just committed a very profane sin in the eyes of many Jews. Because Yahweh is a name you should never pronounce. Jews would not, a practicing Jew would not pronounce this name. When I studied Hebrew under a Jewish fella, and many of my Hebrew professors were Christians, but one of them was Jewish, and we were reading from the Old Testament, and he had told us not to pronounce this name. When you come across it, he said, just substitute in one of two words. You substitute in either the Hebrew word Hashem, which means the name, so that you're reading along, and you just say the name instead of Yahweh, or you can put in Adonai, which means Lord, in a generic sense. That's the same word you'd use for a king who's Lord over you, okay, as well as it's used for God as well. So that's what he said. Well, we had some girl, I don't remember her name, but I can tell you exactly what she looks like because she nearly gave our Hebrew teacher a heart attack. See, she's reading along in the text and she comes to Yahweh and she starts trying to pronounce it. And he's trying to get her to stop because he doesn't want lightning to strike in the class. She won't stop. He says, no, 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 don't say that. She says, no, I can get it, I can get it. Well, no, you should not get it, you should not get it. Oh, no, no, I got this, I got this. It's Yah, it doesn't have any vowels on it. Yah, no, 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 no. Professor, I can do this. Yah, please, please, no, no. I mean, it was a five-minute fiasco. Fortunately, she really couldn't read Hebrew very well, and she never got it out. But she tried really hard. A good Jew will not say the name Yahweh. Won't pronounce it. Won't read it in the scriptures. Will not say it out loud. Will substitute Hebrew for the name or Lord, but will not pronounce it. In our Bibles, when it's translated, it's not translated Yahweh. It's translated Lord with all capital letters. And so that's Yahweh. Now, what is Yahweh? What is it? Well, it comes from this passage out of the Old Testament where Moses is talking to God, and God is in the burning bush, and Moses says, okay, God, I'll go tell the people what you've said, but they may ask what your name is. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And God said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord. Now, do you see it there? Upper and lower, big case, right? What does that tell us it is? Yahweh. The Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name for the next 1,000 years. No, this is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered until Jesus comes. No, throughout all generations. Now, you'll notice I am who I am is capitalized as well. That's because it's a different form of the same word, Yahweh. Just written with a little different inflection in the Hebrew. So God is saying, I am who I am. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh has sent me to you. Say to the people of Israel, Yahweh is the God of your fathers, is the God of Jacob, is the God of Isaac, is the God of Abraham. That's Yahweh. That's my name, all generations, Yahweh. Now, when we see this and we understand it, we're getting a little bit further down the road to better glimpse at the character of God. Fits in real well with Pastor David's sermon this morning. And so I want to go into a little more detail with it. Before Yahweh in this revelation at the burning bush, before God revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not by the name Yahweh. He revealed himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty, but not by Yahweh. This was something new to the Israelites. So we see Yahweh is the name for all future generations for God to be known as. But that's the way it's placed. God spoke to Moses. This is three chapters later in Exodus 6. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, as God Almighty. But by my name Yahweh, I did not make myself known. They didn't know me as Yahweh, but I am Yahweh, and I've made myself known to you. And it's very interesting. If you read Hebrew Scripture, you will see names that use an abbreviation from Yahweh, but only after this revelation at Moses at the burning bush. Before that, you've got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You might think may sound like it because it starts J-A, but no. Jacob is Yaakov, means to grasp. Doesn't come from Yahweh. But afterwards, you get Yoel. Joel means Yahweh is God. Yotham, Yonatan, Eli, Yah, Adonai, Yah. All of those are Hebrew names that somehow build into them Yahweh. By the way, there's a word you know that builds in Yahweh that you use in your vocabulary. And you would know it if I tell you that the Hebrew word for praise is hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. But Yahweh would be abbreviated because even in ancient times, people did not want to say it. So they would abbreviate it. Now, this is God saying to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, Yahweh. God would say his name. But his name, the Jews understood to be as treasured, the pronunciation of his name is as treasured as his glory. And so God causes his glory to pass before Moses. Moses sees the tail end of it. And as part of that, God says, and I'm willing to pronounce my name. I'll say my name. It's a very holy thing. Now, sometime in here, the Jews quit pronouncing Yahweh. They would not say it out loud. And one of the questions I want us to look at briefly is, when did they quit pronouncing this name? Because this is important to us to understand the Bible. When did the Jews quit saying Yahweh out loud? Well, we don't know exactly. But we can put some time frame on it. Whoa, that got messy. Let's scoot that over. Ignore that ink up in the left-hand corner. I didn't fix that slide right. We know that sometime between the Old Testament revelation at Sinai in the burning bush, and Bethlehem, sometime in that time period, the Jews quit saying the name of God. They would not pronounce it. You know, where God says, I will make my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. God would say it. And certain Jews would say it at certain times. The high priest would say it once a year at the Day of Atonement. But other than that, somewhere in here it quit being said. And we don't know exactly where. We know we can look at the Dead Sea Scrolls on this. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, I've pulled out two names here, two words for you. And from this Dead Sea Scroll, this is from the Habakkuk text. This is somewhere around 200 BC. And if you look at the very top picture, this one right here that I've just moved. Let's do it again. See that top picture? That is a word, va'asher, in Hebrew. Now, you might be able to pick up some of the letters in that word. Here is, Steve Taylor, for future reference. When this expands my 4:3 into the ratio for these screens, it messes up the placement. So that vav is under the aleph. It doesn't belong there. It should be scooted over. But do you kind of see the vav letter? You see it? It's that one line. It's to the right of where I've written the vav. And then the aleph is right next to it. Now that guy had smudgy ink, but cut him some slack. He was writing 2,300 years ago with charcoal. And they did not yet have big pens. Okay. Then you can see the dalet at the end of the word. Actually, it may actually be a resh, but it's a dalet or a resh. It's pretty close. You don't need to know the difference right now. But someone watching this on the internet is going to say, if that's va'asher, it's a resh. So I know. Okay. But you can sort of pick out some of those letters. But do you know what that word is below it? That's not anything you've ever seen before. Yet the word below it, this one right here, that is actually Yahweh. And you're saying, well, Lanier, why have we spent all this time learning the Hebrew alphabet? It doesn't look anything like it. You're right. You're right. Anybody have any clue why? Here's the reason. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, at least in this one, and actually in several others, when they were writing and they came across the holy name of God, the name that is not to be pronounced, they would not even write it in their script of the day. They wrote it in the way the ancients would have written the letters 1,000 years earlier with Moses. They used what's called Paleo-Hebrew. And so they wrote the whole thing normally, except that they would write in Paleo-Hebrew. I'll give you another one. In the community scroll, which is another one of their scrolls, they wouldn't even write it in Paleo-Hebrew. They just put four dots every time Yahweh was to be used. Because by the time before Christ, they quit pronouncing the name Yahweh. Before Christ, they quit pronouncing the name Yahweh. Now, why? Why did they quit pronouncing the name Yahweh? Anybody have an idea? Shout it out. Hey, shout it out. Why? Because the name was so holy. See, in Leviticus 24, there was a fella, a woman's son. He doesn't even have a name. And he had blasphemed the name of God. What's the name? Yahweh. He had used the name in what was deemed a blasphemous way. Said, whoever blasphemes the name of Yahweh shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation stoned him. Now, that's an inhibitor. I will tell you this. The gentleman I was talking to last night, who was taking me to task over this class, he said, well, just what are you going to do with the alphabet tomorrow? I said, well, tomorrow we're going to study the name of God, Yahweh. And he said, oh, Yahweh, what's knowing the name Yahweh going to do for anybody? I said, well, first of all, we're going to talk about the fact that when you make light of the name, you get stoned in the Old Testament. He said, well, I'm not making light of it. Start backtracking, beep, 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 backing up. And I said, well, I'm just telling you, you know, whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord is supposed to be put to death. We'll learn that, but then we'll also learn something else about it. They quit pronouncing the name because it was such a holy name. Now, if they quit pronouncing it, somebody out there is going to say, well, then how do you know it said Yahweh? Because the Hebrew, all I gave you were consonants. Yod, Y, Hey, Vav, Hey. Let's go to the Elmo. I'm giving you only the consonants. Y, H, V, or W, H. I mean, that could be Yovu. That could be Yiva. That could be Yehiva. Yohuvi. I mean, it's got countless possibilities. So how do we know which vowel sounds to put in there? Well, with other Hebrew words, called Masoretic scholars, the Hebrew Jewish guys who were copying the Bible during all of the Middle Ages, they started adding vowel sounds because they were scared to death people were going to forget how to pronounce the Hebrew because it wasn't a living, walking, breathing language. So they started adding vowels to everything, but on Yahweh, they wouldn't add any vowels because their view was you're not supposed to be saying it anyway. And who knows whether or not they even knew how to say it. It's the name that's not supposed to be said. So how do scholars know? Let's go back to the Elmo. Back to the computer, please. How do scholars know how to say it? And what does it mean? Let's stay off what does it mean. Let's go back to this. I'm going to do this with you. Here's what scholars have done. They have sat down and figured out how to say it based on what they think the word really was. But before they did that, first they played with it. So there's a Hebrew word. I told you one of the things Jews can say instead of Yahweh is Adonai. Have you heard that word before? It's a word for God. Adonai starts with kind of an A sound. It's not a full A. And then it's got the D-O-N-A. Kind of a Y, but it's kind of an AI sound. Adonai. Ignore that. That's not making it long. Adonai. So what some scholars did is they said, you know, that Y, it also becomes in English a J. That Hebrew Yod. And then you've got H and V and H. Yahweh. But we'll just take the vowels from Adonai. That makes an E sound. We'll take that O, take that A. And that's where we got the name Jehovah. And that's what's in the King James Bible. Now, Jehovah is not God's name. Scholars know that is not the way you would say it. I don't want to upset all the Jehovah's Witnesses out there who have built an entire faith on saying it that way. But that's not the way it was pronounced. To understand how to pronounce it, scholars have gone back and asked this question, what does Yahweh mean? And the answer is, Yahweh is a verb. Yahweh means, most likely, most scholars agree, to be. You say, well, if it means to be, why don't we know that? We just know what to be is. Because Hebrew has no present tense. They don't have a present tense. They don't have a word to be. They don't have a word, I am. But if they did mechanically, this is how it would be made. So God, Yahweh, God is a verb. God is Yahweh. God is a verb. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him. Yahweh. That's the word. But it means to be. I'm going to skip through this next slide for a minute because I want to do something else with our time. And so let's see. We'll skip through it this way. Let me turn the slides off for a minute. David had something very profound in his sermon today. In David's sermon, he was talking about how in the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, God starts stacking the verbs. The neighbor did this, 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 this. Remember that? Okay. God is a verb. You go back and read all of your ancient Near Eastern history, and they named thousands of gods. Only Israel had a god whose name was a verb. Every other god is a noun. There's the earth god, the sun god, the moon god, the wind god, the water god. There's the giant god, the titans. There's the strong god. Only Israel has God whose name is not a noun but a verb, because he's a God of action in the present tense. And for all generations, God is to be known by his name, because his name is action in the present tense. God is working right now. And you see this, if we go back to the Elmo, you'll see this in these scriptures. Let me put the scriptures back up that we've been looking at this morning. Look at this Exodus 33:19 passage. In Exodus 33:19, God says, I will make my goodness pass before you, talking to Moses, and will proclaim before you my name. And look at this. This is incredible. The Lord. That's Yahweh, right? The very next sentence, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. See the action? He's got verbs right there with his name. He says, I am Yahweh, and this is how I'm acting. I'll be gracious on whom I'll be gracious. I'll show mercy on whom I show mercy. And then when it happens a couple verses later on in chapter 34, Moses cuts two tablets of stone like the first. He rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai. As the Lord had commanded him, he took in his hand two tablets. Then, this is with the tablets, Yahweh, see it? Yahweh descended in the cloud, stood there with him, and proclaimed his own name, Yahweh. The Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, faithfulness, keeping steadfast love, forgiving iniquity, transgression, sin. He's a verb. And we don't know all that he is. And we don't know all that he does. And scholars debate this scripture like crazy. And they debate this word like crazy, because you can't know the depths of God the verb. You can't know God fully. We'll talk Mittinger anyway, because this is what he said. Old Testament scholar from Sweden. God remains the hidden God, the God who in the Old Testament has contact with people. Nevertheless, always God, and in sacredness, God will remain unfathomable. The Old Testament knows of only one response to the divine self-revelation of Yahweh. You worship him and you fear him. Anyone seeking contact with God must be prepared to respect God's incognito. We cannot understand the depths of God, but we can see God in action, and that's his name. So now we are back to where we started. In the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, he began to build the Beit of Yahweh. Now, when he builds the Beit of Yahweh, the house of the Lord, what does that mean for us? Well, let's go to 1 Kings 8:43. Let me put this up for you and let you look at it. There's a really neat thing that happens in Scripture that we don't generally get with our translations. I've put another translation in your paper you can look at. Solomon is dedicating the temple at this point. And Solomon says, he's praying to God, and he says that if a foreigner comes out and calls out and prays towards this house, to towards this bait. God, would you hear in heaven your dwelling place? And would you do, isn't that interesting? Would you hear in heaven your dwelling place? He built God a house. But he recognizes the verb doesn't live in that house. Would you do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know Yahweh? Would you do because you're a verb, and let all of the world know you're a verb who does? And then may they fear you as do your people Israel. And they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name. Now, the Hebrew actually reads a little bit different. It's kind of a tough thing to translate unless you understand there was a legal process in Israel. If you were going to buy a house, part of it, you didn't just go to close and sign the documents and have them notarized. If you're buying property, part of what happened was you've got to pronounce your name over the property. That's kind of what closes the deal. So, Richard, you buy a house. You go to closing, but you also go to the house and you say, this house belongs to Richard Block. And that closes the deal. Castell, you may get your bank to do this with people. Say, okay, we'll loan you the money, but we expect you to go over there and say your name over the house. That's what Solomon did. He announced the name of God over the house. And once you do that, once you do that, it becomes possession, and it's under the protection of the owner, nobody else anymore. It's under the control of the owner. That's what transfers ownership. And so that's what Solomon did. May the people know, I built this for you, and your name has been called out over this house. So you own it, you protect it, you control it. This is your house. Now that's important because in the New Testament, the same image is used for you and me. I put a passage in James where we are called, the name of Jesus is called out over us. He owns us. He controls us. He protects us. We are not our own. We belong to Him. And we wear His name, Christian, gladly with honor. Because we are His. All right. Now, we tie all of this together in the last few minutes here. Because this will help us, understanding God the verb, that Solomon built the house for God the verb, Yahweh. We will now understand John chapter 8 better than we ever have before. So, if you're asleep, wake up. Come with me this last 6 minutes. Let's do John 7 minutes. Let's do John chapter 8 together. Okay? Reach your arms up. Stretch. I'm losing some of you. Okay? All right. Just daylight savings time. Boom. Here we go. Solomon builds the house of Yahweh, and if we read the scripture carefully, we'll see he celebrates the opening of it on the Festival of Booths. The riddles aren't here today, are they? Sukkot. It's their favorite time of the year to go to Israel. Sukkot, the Festival of Booths. And that's when Solomon dedicates the temple. John chapter 8, in fact, John 7, 8, and 9 happens at the same time. Festival of Booths. When the Festival of Booths was celebrated at the time of Jesus, there were three seminal events worth note right now. Number one, every day for 7 days, water would be gathered from the Pool of Siloam and carried up to the temple and poured out at the temple. And this water represented God and His cleanliness and His supply and sustenance for His people. And it's at the Festival of Booths that Jesus stands up and says, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of him shall flow rivers of water, of life. You don't need to go to the Pool of Siloam. You come to me and you'll get your water. A second event There was a celebration of lights. The women would take torches from a candle. The candelabra was lit. They'd take torches. They would do this dance to indicate God has enlightened his people and the world through his temple. All of this is taking place at the temple. This is a Beit Yahweh celebration. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. At the end of the Sukkot celebration, the priests would come out, the people would come out, and they would not say Yahweh's name. They would mispronounce it so that they would recognize his presence, but they would, quote, swallow his name. So that they're not profaning it by saying it. But into this comes Jesus in John chapter 8. And I want to flip there and I want you to look at this now, understanding that God's name is a verb. It is Yahweh. It is I am. And Jesus lived in a time where people would not say it. So Jesus says in John chapter 8, this is, of course, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now that I am there, he might just be saying in Hebrew, I, the light of the world, and the am would be assumed since they had no present tense. But if we keep going and you get to verse 24, in verse 24, Jesus says, I told you that you would die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. You will die in your sins. Ani hu, I am he. Now that's getting pretty close to blasphemy. Jesus is using the language that is used of Yahweh, even if he's not saying the name. And he's saying, you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. They say, who are you? And as he's talking, he says the following, verse 28. Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. He's getting really, really, really close to blasphemy in their eyes. This chapter ends with the people getting all upset. And they answered him and said, Abraham's our father. Because he says you haven't even seen the Father. Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who's told you the truth that I heard from God. That's not what Abraham did. You're doing the works your father did. He's saying you're doing the works of the devil. And then keep going to the end. How do I get over there without breaking the book? Here we go. Do it this way. He says, the Jews said to him, you're 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? Because he's quoting Abraham. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am Yahweh. At the Feast of the Booths, they mispronounce the name of God. Jesus makes no mispronunciation. The name of God's not to be blasphemed, not to be taken lightly. Jesus proclaims it. And he not even proclaims it, he wears it. And he says it. And he pronounces it. Jesus, the verb. I am. And what do they do? They pick up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. He hid himself and he went out of the temple. Out of the house of Yahweh. Because that's where he was as he said his name. Now that's profound. Jesus says, I am. Jesus is Yahweh. What do we do with this? Well, if Jesus is Yahweh, Jesus is a verb. And what do verbs do? They act. Verbs are action words. So what do you and I do? We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his mouth. Let us be his action. We want to be doing in our lives and bodies the works of God the Father, of Yahweh, God the Son. God the Father is Yahweh, God the Son is Yahweh. God the Holy Spirit is Yahweh. They are one. Next, in Philippians 2, Paul says, God has bestowed upon Jesus the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Now, what is the name that is above every name? Yahweh. Paul says, that's the name that's bestowed upon Jesus. And I told you that the chief priest would pronounce the name once a year at the Day of Atonement. And the Mishnah tells us when the chief priest would do that, all of the people would fall to their knees, hearing the name of Yahweh. And Paul says that there's coming a day where everybody, not just practicing Jew, not just in CFBC, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's bow our knee now. I don't want to wait for that day. Last point for home. Solomon said, your name has been called over this house. God's name has been called over you and me. We belong to him. We are his. We have his protection. We have his ownership. We have his control. And we need to live in that. We need to live in that. Oh, we're going to close with prayer. But let me give you your homework. Want more. Kind of dark. Can't see it. Sorry. Dale Hearn found that Hebrew fella and said he looked like me. So he sent it to me. I think it's been photoshopped. Because I can't grow a beard like that. Do your homework. It's on the back. I've given you. Read them, write them, say them, pronounce, and write the Hebrew letters. Practice, 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 if you're interested in that part of the class. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, boy, just slimmed right over that, Father, and I didn't mean to. Because there is significance in your name. And I apologize. Because you are Jehovah, you are Yahweh, you are God, and you are my Father. And through Jesus, our Lord, we say your name. We say it with reverence. We say it with respect. Lord, in Jesus' prayer before his crucifixion, we heard him say that his purpose on earth had been to live your name. And we would like that to be our purpose as well. May we be your people of action, doing your works. May your name, your works, be praised among the peoples as they see us, empowered by your Holy Spirit, led by you, doing these things, standing against Satan and his works. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will empower everybody who's hearing this message to walk away from any chains that are binding them from living in confident faith of your purpose in their life and your control and your call over them. We worship and adore you as your children. Hallelujah, Yahweh. In Jesus' name, amen.